Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Ram. This verse is actually, this shloka is very important because this shloka is indicating the mission of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sahasrara. Just as the second shloka of Srila Prabhupada Pranamantra is indicating the mission of Srila Prabhupada. Then Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shundava Paschata. To remove the impersonalism and voidism, Nirvishesha Shundava from Paschata Deshata. To remove it from the Western world. That is Prabhupada's mission. And Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati's mission has been described here. Namaste Gauravani Shri Murtaye Vinodarine Rupanuga Viruddhava Siddhanta Dhanta Dhani. So let's recite this verse again. Namaste Gauravani,
Namaste Gauravani
Shri Murtaye Vinodarine
Shri Murtaye Vinodarine
Siddhanta Dhanta Hari
Siddhanta Dhanta. Hare Dina Tarine Ruha Ruha Ruha
The darkness that was caused by his opposite hunter, he removed those darkness. So that is Srila Prabhupada Saraswati Thakur's mission. That's why he came. And Srila Prabhupada, in one of his poems, that he was expressing his lamentation about the condition of the preaching mission that Srila Prabhupada established, he, in the second stanza, in the second octaves, he actually mentioned that just as Advaita Acharya Prabhu brought Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, similarly, in response to Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's prayer, you have been kind. Just as Advaita Acharya brought Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur brought Srila Bhaktivinoda. Bhaktivinoda Thakur played a very, very significant role in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan. We notice that the history actually records or describes that soon after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, soon means about a couple of hundred years after Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's disappearance, his teaching was lost by the opposite hunters of the upper sampradayas. Upper sampradayas, they were claiming that they were Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's followers. But actually they were not following Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings. Rather, they were introducing their teachings, their misconstrued, unscrupulous teachings in the name of Sri Chaitanya. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was famous at that time. And taking advantage of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's name, these people actually started to introduce all kinds of concocted ideas. They are known as upper sampradayas. And they classified in 13 principal categories. Aul, Baul, Lara, Deri, Shai, Shahujiya, Shokhiriti, Jati Goshai, O Nagari. And this way, there are 13 upper sampradayas. And the teachings of Upper Sampradaya has actually eclipsed Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's. And as a result of that, darkness was created. Mahaprabhu's teaching and Mahaprabhu's dharma both. And Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur actually came to divide Mahaprabhu's teaching and retrieve Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. After Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's disappearance, there was a big flood, and as a result of that flood, Navadvip disappeared. Actually, we have to understand that Navadvip appeared with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And when Mahaprabhu left, the dharma also left. And Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu, Jive Daya Kori, Shapar Shanam Shriya Dham Shapar Mahato. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared, Abhutari, with his associates, Parsha, Shaparsha, and Shriya Dham, with his dham, with his transcendental abode. So when he left, his heart also. But it's Bhakti Vinod Thakur who actually rediscovered his heart. Otherwise, people haven't done such. Some unscrupulous people established some places and started to advertise that those were the places of Mahaprabhu's pastime. And the other side of the Ganges. But it's Bhakti Vinod Thakur who actually pointed out, no, this is where actual place of Mahaprabhu's appearance is. Navadvip is Mayapur is not there. Mayapur is not there. And then, as you know, he got a transcendental vision from his house on the other side of the river Jalangi. He saw this part become manifest, brilliant light, where there were many, many beautiful temples, beautiful houses, and devotees from all over the world gathered and chanting. But when he came in the morning, next morning, he found that was a Muslim village. And there was nothing. But there was a very curious sight that there was a neem tree. And around the neem tree, there was a forest of tulasi. So generally, tulasi doesn't grow anywhere. Tulasi doesn't grow without proper cultivation. And especially, tulasi doesn't grow in an unholy place. And so that's how we actually consider that this must be the place of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance. And then he reconfirmed his discovery with Sri Jagannath Das Baba, the most exalted Vaishnava. Vaishnava Sarvabhauma. Sarvabhauma means the sovereign monarch of the Vaishnava kingdom. He was 140 years. He couldn't walk. He couldn't even sit straight. He used to be carried in a basket. One of his disciples used to carry him whenever he had to go somewhere in a basket. He used to sit on the basket and he used to carry. But that 140 years old Vaishnava, who couldn't even stand up, when he came to this place, he jumped out of his basket and started to dance in ecstasy, jumping 5-6 feet high, saying that this is the place of Sri Chaitanya. This is the birthplace of Sri Chaitanya. Eto Sri Chaitanya, the one of the jumpers. And that's why Jagannath Das Babaji's prayer goes, Gora Vir Bhago Vestani, Vishta Shanjana. The personality who indicated the birthplace of Sri Chaitanya. So this is how Bhakti Vinod Thakur actually discovered Mahaprabhu's place of pastimes. And he retrieved, he revived Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teaching. The condition was so critical at that time that Bhakti Vinod Thakur couldn't find a single Chaitanya Charitamrita in the whole of Bengal. Can you imagine the condition? You know, how pathetic the condition was. That not a single volume of Chaitanya Charitamrita was available. He heard about Chaitanya Charitamrita and he was searching for Chaitanya. Couldn't find one. Then eventually he found one in Odisha. So that shows what was the condition of Gaudiya Vaishnavism, what was the condition of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teaching at that time. And then Bhakti Vinod Thakur started to broadcast the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu based on Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. He himself wrote a commentary, the Amrita Prabaha Bhashya, the flow of nectarian, the flow of nectar. The commentary that is actually the flow of nectar. And he started to print books, reprinting, or rather printing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's books on Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's written by previous acharyas, and he himself started to write. And it's very interesting to note that Bhakti Vinod Thakur did not write only in Bengali and in Sanskrit. He started to write in English as well. And obviously he was not writing in English to preach to the Englishmen of that time. Because the Englishmen, they were ruling over India. They were extremely arrogant. According to them, the Indians were a bunch of barbarians. They did not have any respect for their culture, what to speak of accepting their culture. But although he was a very high-ranking government official at that time, a very senior deputy magistrate, had a very close contact with the ruling English gentry of that time. But Bhakti Vinod Thakur was not writing for them. He actually had the foresight to see time will come when Krishna consciousness will spread all over the world, and through English this teaching of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has to be established. And his writing was so brilliant. You can see from his writing what a brilliant personality he was. There is one poetry, the Sharad Grahi Vaishnava. In 22 stanzas, he gave the entire philosophy of Srimad Bhagavatam, or the entire teaching of Srimad Bhagavatam. So just in 22 verses, 22 stanzas, describes how was the condition of a living entity in the material world. He starts off, alas for those who spend their days in festive mirth and joy, the dazzling deadly liquid forms their hearts forever employ. The condition of the living entity. He is feeling pity for them. Alas for those who spend their days in festive mirth and joy. And what's the condition? Dazzling deadly liquid forms, the illusory energy of the world, their hearts forever employ. The condition is like a bunch of drunkards. Shining bottles charm their eyes and draw their hearts and breasts. The slaves of wine can never rise from what we call disgrace. Now the brilliance of his writing is not only the theme that he is presenting, but the form in which he is actually presenting is so brilliant. I mean, what a wonderful structure of meter and rhyme. And he maintains that throughout the poetry. In just just 22 verses, just to consider a few of them, you see the beautiful way of his presentation. The flesh is not our own, alas. The flesh is body made of flesh and bone. The flesh is not our own, alas. The mortal frame a chain. The soul confined for former wrongs will try to rise. Forget the past that slips and never future dream at all. Live with the time that are with thee and progress each day. O Sharagrahi Vaishnava soul, thou art an angel fair. Vaishnava soul, Sharagrahi, swan like person. O Sharagrahi Vaishnava soul, thou art an angel fair. Lead me on to Vrindavan and spirit's power declare. There rests my soul from matter free upon my lover's arms. Eternal peace and spirit's love, all my chanting. So, in this way, he just takes us to the ultimate goal. And I have noticed that those who did not have anything to do with Krishna consciousness, when they hear about this, when they heard about this, they got so wonderfully impressed. And so this is the genius of So he saw the need to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. And for that he needed somebody to assist him. And he prayed to Lord Jagannath. He was in Jagannath Puri at the time. He was the magistrate. And he prayed to Lord Jagannath to send an able assistant to help him in his mission. And as a result of that, he considered him to be the mercy of Lord Jagannath. He considered him to be the prasad of Lord Jagannath. Now Lord Jagannath's prasad actually goes to Bimala Devi, the internal potency of God. So, and Bimala Devi distributes the So that's why he named him as Bimala. Not just Jagannath's prasad, Bimala. And on this particular day, in 1874, on 6th February, he appeared. In the afternoon. And one very interesting thing was his umbilical cord was wrapped around his torso, just like a Brahmin thread. It's an unusual thing. And then when the astrologer, it's a custom in India, after a child is born, an astrologer is called to make a calculation, write his horoscope. And this astrologer mentioned that he had seen many, many charts before. He did many charts of many great personalities, but he never came across such brilliant one. And he predicted that this personality would spread the glory of Vedic culture all over. He was the fourth son of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was a pure devotee himself. Brought his children in a very wonderful way, gave them a very wonderful Krishna conscious upbringing. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur naturally had a very, very special upbringing from his industry. father. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur displays some amazing characteristics. He was, whatever he was heard once, he would remember. And he had a tremendous attachment to the Supreme Personality of God. One very interesting anecdote is that when he was 6 months old, Jagannath Rath Yatra was taking place. Bhaktivinoda Thakur's house was right on the street, very wide street that goes from Jagannath temple to Gundicha temple, and the Rath Yatra takes place there. And when they were pulling the chariot, Jagannath's chariot came in front of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's house and stopped there. They tried to move the chariot in so many ways. They could, for 3 days the chariot stood there. Nobody could just move it. But elephants were gone. All kinds of effort was made. But nothing could move Lord Jagannath's chariot. But then Bhaktivinoda Thakur's wife took advantage of the situation and took her son, little 6-month-old boy, to the feet of Lord Jagannath. As he placed the baby at the feet of Lord Jagannath, Jagannath bowed his head, as if Jagannath was just waiting to offer his blessings to him. And then after that, the chariot started. When Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was just 2 years old, 2 or 3 years old, in the mango season, as the mango season started, a basket of mango was brought to the house. And this little boy just took a mango. He was about 3 or 4 years old. And Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur just kindly chastised, without offering to the Lord, you accepted and took it, took the mango. And it left such a deep scar in his heart that he took a vow not to ever eat mango. And he gave that vow throughout the life. He did not eat mango. When he was 7 years old, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was building a house in North Calcutta in a place called Ram Bagan. And there, when he was digging the foundation, he found a Purva Shila. And Narayan Shila depicting Purva Shila. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur offered that Shila to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. And then later on, he gave him Nrisimha Mantra and Maha Mantra when he was about 13 years. He finished his school at the age of 18 and entered into a college called Sanskrit College. But soon after that, he dropped out. He gave up his study. Although he was one of the most brilliant students, he gave up his study. And his point was that if I have a lot of education, then people will force me to become materialistically engaged and get involved in household life. In order to protect himself from that calamity, he dropped out, gave up his education. And for some years, he worked as the in the estate of the in the kingdom of Tripura, and he was involved in writing the royal family's history their history. And then the king was very fond of him, actually. Very fond of him. He actually assigned the responsibility of training his children. He wanted him to train them up. So he was their teacher. And the future king was actually trained up by him. And in a way, we can see that family, the royal family of Tripura, is actually a very special family. They have a very close connection with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his teachings. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur must have played a very important role. And the king was so fond of him that when Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur resigned, the king actually granted him a stipend for him, or he gets a pension, lifelong pension. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur accepted it for a few months, but then he gave it up. He thought, why should he take the money from that? And then he became so concerned about his spiritual life, he asked Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who should we take initiation from? And Bhaktivinoda Thakur directed him to Srila Gaura Kishore Das Babaji. Now it was quite a contrast in a way. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was the greatest scholar of his time, and Gaura Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj was apparently illiterate. So Gaura Kishore Das, when Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur approached him, Gaura Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj flatly refused him. I don't want to accept him. And he did not have him this time. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was his only disciple. He didn't have any disciple. But when he refused, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur came from insisting. And then he said, okay, I'll ask Chaitanya. Then after a few days he went and asked him, so did you ask Lord Chaitanya? He said, I forgot. In this a few times it just went on. And then finally Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati told him, if you don't give initiation, then this life doesn't have any system. It doesn't bear any system. So what's the point in maintaining this life? And so this is how Gaura Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj recognized that, realized that this person, when he says that he would give up his life, he did it. So that's why he was compelled to give him initiation. And he gave him a beautiful name, Sri Varshobhanami Devi Vaita. Varshobhanami Devi, the daughter of King Vrishabhanu, Varshobhanami Devi, Doita Dara. Doita means lover. So, who is the lover of the daughter of King Vrishabhanu? Krishna. Sri Varshobhanami Devi, Doita Dara. Krishna Sambandha Vidyana Bhavata, Daine Prabhu. So soon after getting initiated, he decided to prepare himself for embarking on this preaching mission of spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world. So in order to prepare, he came to Mayapur and he took a vow of chanting 1 million which would mean chanting 300,000 names or 192 rounds for 10 years. And he did that. And after that, he embarked on his preaching mission. In the meantime, Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur left this planet in 1916. And soon after that, Govindeshwar Babaji Maharaj also lived. And he was extremely heartbroken. They were his two main shelters, and now he has become bereft of the shelter. And then, in 1918, he took sannyas. This is also another unusual thing. Like those days, Gaudiya Vaishnavas did not accept sannyas order in this way. Their sannyas was the state, Paramahamsa state, that was established by Srila Sanatana Goswami, wearing white. That is also just one piece of cloth was stored in the food, and one half was wrapped around his loin, and the other half wrapped around his torso. So that was the dress. Actually, it happened when Sanatana Goswami made Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Benares, Kashi. Then he looked like a Muslim mendicant, fakir, because he had long beard and his dress also was somewhat like that. So that's why when Mahaprabhu told Tapan Mishra that there is a Vaishnava outside, please call him. Tapan Mishra went back and told, I couldn't find any Vaishnava. So then Mahaprabhu asked, was there somebody there? He said, yes, there is a fakir. He called him. So he was called and Mahaprabhu waved his hand. Shantaka said, please don't touch me, I'm so dirty, I'm so unclean. And Mahaprabhu said, I touch you with myself beautiful. So then Mahaprabhu told him to get civilized. So get cleaned up, sort of. So that's why he went to Ganga, shaved up, and then Tapan Mishra gave him a new set of clothes to wear. But he said, no, give me an old piece of dhoti. So Tapan Mishra gave him an old dhoti, and he tore that dhoti into half, and with one half he was wearing as his loin cloth around his loin and his So that became the dress of the Goswami of Vrindavan. Babaji dress. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur set a revolutionary standard. His consideration was that all kinds of undesirable activities, unclean activities are going on, wearing that dress. Therefore, in order to establish the honor and the glory of the dress, I will take sannyas according to Varnashram standard, Varnashram system. Because this is the Paramahamsa stage, wearing white. Those were situated in the transcendental platform, this is their dress. Remaining below there, then wearing this Varnashram sannyas order, I will place my lotus feet, their lotus feet on my head and establish their glory. And that is also another aspect of the Viruddha Vasiddhanta. He came to destroy this all kinds of unscrupulous activities that were going on at the time. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he took sannyas also. There was no one to give him sannyas. So he took the sannyas from a picture of Srila Gaura Kishora Das. And he established the sannyas order in his mission later on. And then he set up his first establishment in Calcutta, in number one Kuntaranga Road. By Krishna's mercy, we got that piece of land. That piece. We bought that piece. It belongs to that house. And that is the place where, in 1922, Srila Prabhupada met him. And Srila Prabhupada was so impressed, although initially he did not want to even go and see the Prabhupada. During, from the very first meeting, Prabhupada became so impressed by him that he offered himself to him. Prabhupada had a very, very wonderful situation at that time. He was the manager of a pharmaceutical company, he was the householder, married, the responsibility of maintaining his family. He also had a son, but he gave up his job in order to fulfill the mission of this great personality that he recognized from the very first meeting. And in this way, the line continued. Bhaktivinoda Thakur to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur to His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. It is very unfortunate that soon after Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur disappeared, Gauriya Math, his mission, which was extremely effective, extremely prominent, and attracting all kinds of intelligent people, very, very well known personalities into his fold, but the mission started to collapse soon after his disappearance, and eventually it was completely lost. Although in some temples, some activities, spiritual activities are going on, and people are, the devotees are maintaining their spiritual life, but the mission that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur came to establish, that is, Prabhupada himself actually mentioned that it became different asa. They became useless, devoid of any substance. Even when Prabhupada went to America and got the possibility of starting a temple, he invited them, come, let us gather. You all lead the movement. You all lead the mission. I'll simply become one of your warriors, one of your servants. But come, let's work together. But when no one responded, then finally Prabhupada decided to move along alone. And then the young boys and girls from America came to support him. And we can see this is how Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's line is continuing. This is actually the line of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. This part is the real line of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Sri Chaitanya. Well, I'll stop now, although there is so much to say, but I will request, there are two poems written by Srila Prabhupada as early as in 1930. One is called Viraha Ashtashta and Vaishya Ashtashta. They have been translated by Dasaran Sutta Prabhu in English. And you'll see Prabhupada's lamentation and Prabhupada's frustration seeing the condition of Gauriya. And he was urging them, please come, let's get together and revive our spiritual master's mission. Let us spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. But no one came. But Mahaprabhu had a different plan. His kind had to appear the way Prabhupada had to take this movement to America and start it there. And then bring it back to India and spread it all over. That's all glories to His divine grace, Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta Saraswati Thakura ki.
Jai!
Jagat Guru Śrīla Prabhupāda.
Jai!
Gaura Prēmānanda.
Jai!
I have a couple of minutes, it seems. If there's any question, I can take one or two questions. Yes? By the time okay, say, let's see if we can do it. Can you kindly say something about the initiation of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati because I did a very, very unusual Yeah. So I just mentioned how he compelled him to give initiation. And then finally when he said that he was going to commit to give up his life, if he didn't get initiation from him, then Gaur Vishwadas Balaji Maharaj told him that go take a Bhaktisiddhanta Gita, because it was happening in Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur's house. So he went and took a bath, and then he gave him initiation, gave him the mantra. That's how he got initiation. Just no ceremony, nothing. He went to his bath, then he gave him his mantra. That's it.
What mantra he got?
Obviously, it must have been Gayatri mantra, because Hare Krishna Mahamantra, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur got from Bhakti Vinod Thakur. So it must be the mantra that we have in our life, the seven mantras, starting from Brahma Gayatri to Kama Gayatri. Okay, last question. Gaudiyaji, one devotee is going to need it. So, we have respect for them also, but at the same time, when we hear about Prabhupada Jivan and how Prabhupada is struggling and you can get that cooperation, so there is little meaning of, you cannot see them.